there's anyone here in the room who's thirsty and is going to get himself some water, keep me in mind as well.
Just give me your glass. I'm learning your method.
Okay. You're learning my the tones of my voice, my diplomatic tone. Hot water, if you don't mind.
Yeah. You said keep you in mind. That's only a matter of Kavana.
That's what I say. That's the Mirzon diplomacy that I've been living with for 6.5 decades. That's what you do.
Rebbe, did you explain how Rava comes up with any idea to say that on Shabbos you can actually use this Hanukkah candles for the Orem?
You know what I would suggest, Al? Maybe towards the end of the Shiur, we'll stop the Shiur a little bit earlier, because a lot of what we're going to cover in Shiur might put us in a frame of reference where we could answer that very profound question that you're raising.
Okay.
So at the beginning of the Shiur, I'm not capable of answering that, but I think at the end of the Shiur, we may possibly get
so
much.
You must know that there's an answer in the Shiur, because you're the one giving the
Shiur. They give you bubbles for free here, I guess.
It's been from Staples.
Yeah, it's probably from Staples. I tell you, I miss Staples a lot. You know, the photocopy that we do here, we can do so wonderfully in Staples. Have you ever gone into Staples? It's like technology plus. Yeah, I was just kidding. Ooh. Now I got not only...
Would you like me to unbubble the water? I can get you new water.
Yeah, it's okay. Bubbles have to be good for the
juice. My Myers just got me how to use the machine.
Tiny bubble.
Okay.
Bubbles can't be excellent because you can't make the broth out of bubbles. You can only make it out of the actual liquid.
Do you really want the bubbles?
Strange color, too. It's not just the bubbles. It's like the color.
But you put tea in there.
No, I put tea. I'm putting that same. It's fine. It's fine, Phil. I just got to get used to this color. Okay. So now we have the following. Rav Huna. Let's just wrap our brains around this. Rav Huna has told us that those shmonim and psilos that are puzzled and are disqualified for Ner Shabbos are likewise possible, they're disqualified for Ner Chanukah. And the reason for this, says Rava, is because Rav Huna accepts a principle called, you'll see this on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, Kavsa Zokukla. Kavsa Zokukla. That's what we have. Okay. Rashi says something quite odd in explaining why Rav Huna disqualifies these inferior orders. And Rashi says that we're afraid that he will be posher. I'll read to you the words of Rashi. Again, there's much more to this Rashi than I mentioned now, but just to focus on that, a lot of things in this Rashi that require work. But Dilma Pasha, those two words. Is, again, as I said to you, there's a lot more to this Rashi, because of Tikkun, and Rashi really needs a lot of work. But Dilma Pasha, and the word Pshia in its context implies amazed. Now, watch what's going on here. We're talking about a Jew who wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And we're telling you the following synopsis. We're saying that he knows that he's got to do whatever he has to do. Meaning, you tell me what the rules are, you tell me what the regulations and requirements are, and I'll fulfill them. Otherwise, if he's not interested in the rules and the regulations, so what's the point of his making a bracha and fulfilling the mitzvah? We can't assume. Again, I don't know if he's a mahadrin. He might not be on the highest level. Hanukkah fits into many different levels, as we'll soon see. But as far as the basic mitzvah is concerned, those requirements that are absolutely critical, Yeshlan Niach, we can certainly assume that he's committed to those, to fulfill those requirements. Otherwise, what's this exercise of futility of lighting an Ner Chanukah? And then Rashi says that according to Rav Huna, since one of the rules of the regulations that that are absolutely critical, Likuva in Chanukah, is Kavsa Zakukla, he's got to rekindle it. It's not enough to rekindle the light once, he's got to kindle the light twice. Rashi says Dilma Pasha. Now, if Rashi would have said Dilma Shachach, maybe he was busy in his work, you know, he had some work to do, so he walked out. Again, you can imagine all sorts of variations as to why he didn't rekindle the light. But Rashi uses the word Pasha, and that Pshia in its context should be associated with what kind of category? Is it a Shogeg? Is it an Ones? It's amazing. So Rashi's talking about amazing. You know, there's some sort of deliberate violation. And that's very odd. Because again, if you were talking about someone who's not at all interested in the mitzvah, okay, you could say he's amazing, but you know, it's very odd that he would. Yeah, maybe Rashi's saying, you know, he doesn't know that he has to rekindle the light, and that makes him into amazing. That's a little bit. Then already you're really backpedaling. But Pashup Shat, Rashi seems to say that he's made a decision that he's not going to rekindle the light. Now, if the halacha and the principle is kavsa zakukla, so this is problematic. What does Rashi mean? Dilma Pasha. So in order to put this Rashi into perspective, and we began this yesterday, but I'm not sure if we, or at least I'm using the royal we, I mean myself, if we really understood this yesterday, we want to present a different kasha. And that's the kasha of Tosvis and many, many other Rishonim. So Tosis asks the following question. Now, if you have the pages that Yechiel so kindly photocopied, and let's just make sure that we're all on the same page. You should have gotten two sides, which are two different pages. One would say on top Tes Zion, that's on the top right, and the other should say Yud Zion on the top left. Yeah? Maybe? Yeah. Could be.
We got this.
Yeah. The last year I messed up badly, so this year I want to get it right. So the last year in Chumash, I gave out the wrong pages. So this time, because Yechiel did the work for me, we got the right pages.
Thank you.
So what we're looking at here is page Tes Zion. And we're looking at a short paragraph, or I should really say the end of a short paragraph, three lines. In a greater, longer paragraph that starts Omar Rava, so if you count from the top of the page, you'll probably count around 10 lines down, and you'll see in bold print, not in the largest print, but Hapnei Yoshua. Do you see that? Okay. Now, in order to understand Hapnei Yoshua, those three lines, we're going to present the question of Tosfos. Okay? Now the question of Tosfos is summarized here in the paragraph Keitzad Hochiach. Do you have that paragraph, Keitzad Hochiach? Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm not sure it's a new paragraph. They invented
it.
They have a certain format that they use. But in any event, as long as you find the words Keitzad Hochiach, you're going to see in these three lines, or four lines, a summary of Tosfos' kasha. And when I say Tosfos, I mean it's almost all the Rishonim unanimously ask this kasha. The Gemara proves, this is Rava, that according to Rav Huna, Mutar l'shtamesh li'ora shel ner chanukah. That's not familiar to us. We would feel intuitively more comfortable if you were to tell us also l'shtamesh li'ora. But Rava says, I have a proof that Rav Huna, who's a pretty early Amora, Rav Huna holds that Mutar l'shtamesh li'ora. So Tosfos says, I'm going to argue from the opposite position. I'm going to tell you that also l'shtamesh li'ora. How does Rava see that Mutar l'shtamesh li'ora? And the answer is that Rav Huna said not only were these inferior oils and wicks excluded from Chol of Chanukah, from the weekdays, but they're also likewise excluded on Ner Shabbos. And the Gemara says that the reason why they're excluded on Ner Shabbos is because Mutal l'shtamesh li'ora. So Tosus asked, who says Mutal l'shtamesh li'ora? When Rav Huna said that you can't use these oils on Leil Shabbos of Hanukkah for Hanukkah candles, all he meant to say, very innocent, very naive, is that since Kavsa Zakukla, these inferior oils will not guarantee the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, of a Ner Doluk, and therefore you can't use them neither during the week of Hanukkah nor on Shabbos of Hanukkah. Who told you that the reason why, and this is a question that's addressed to Rava, the reason why Rav Huna excludes these Neros on Leil Shabbos is because of Mutal l'shtamesh li'or? Forget about Mutal l'shtamesh li'or. All I need is one principle, namely Kavsa Zakukla. Once I know that Kavsa Zakukla, I therefore know that Ner Hanukkah from these inferior oils, which will not last, are possible. They're excluded. And therefore, if they're excluded during the week, they should be likewise excluded on Shabbat. So let's read it inside. He says, Hikshu, Yitachen Sheva Shabbos, Hasiva, Shetzorch Lahadlik Dafka Bishmanim Ksherim Hi, the Kavan Shim Kova Ner Chanukah Tzorch Lachzor Lahadliko, the Kavan Shim Shabbos Hi Efshala. You know, during the week, you could say, well, you know, there's a chance that maybe let's rely on him, and if it goes out, he'll rekindle it, he'll fulfill his mitzvah, his requirement of Kavsa Zakukla, but on Shabbos, we don't have that option. And therefore, Tosa says, that certainly these inferior quality oils should be excluded on the Shabbos of Hanukkah, but this has nothing to do with Mutal l'shtamesh li'ora or Asur l'shtamesh li'ora. So again, if you're following in the text, we're up to, and I would have pressed the return button, the word ubehechrich. Okay, I would have said it as a separate pattern. Let me just make a bracha on these bubbles. No, I'm okay. Not on the bubble. Bracha tovah. No,
unless you want the bubbles.
Wow. No, I actually all that I got was the bubbles. I don't know. I guess it's, you know, when you drink something, the first thing that goes in is the bubbles.
I can hear it. Let me stop the act of the word.
Oh, if I blow it to the other side, then I.
Oh,
I must have blown it. Okay. So behechrech shagemara savra sheim kava ner Chanukah ba'ones. Again, keep in mind that the Pnei Yeshua wants to justify Rashi as saying that we're talking about Pshia. So the answer is that if the ner Chanukah went out ba'ones, let's say a gust of wind came and blew out his ner Chanukah, but he had no intention of that happening, is in such a case yishkach Lachzor ulehadliko. Let's say it was not a case, as Rashi says, of pshia, but rather it was a case of shichacha. We'll call that shogeg, and he forgot to go to rekindle it. Then yotze yedei chovas hadlokas ner Chanukah. Why? Why should we let him off the hook and allow him and consider as if he has fulfilled his obligation of ner Chanukah? Kevan shalom matzui shaner yichpe. At this point, we're saying that he did not have any reason to anticipate that the candle would go out. Because again, how long does the candle have to last? Does anybody remember that? Yeah, just for a half hour. So it's very possible that even if you use these second-rate candles, again, in the case of Shabbos, you know, we want the Ner Shabbos to be alive and well for hours and hours. You know, he's going to go out to Davin, he's going to come back, he's going to eat his Suda, and he's going to illuminate his Suda with the Ner Shabbos. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, all he needs is that minimum of half hour. So even these inferior quality oils could last for such a half hour. So let's read it again. He says that in kava ner be'ones, he's not guilty of putting out the candle, but he forgot to rekindle it. This is again during the week because he doesn't have that option on Shabbos. Is yotzi dechovas hadlokas ner Chanukah? We would assume that in such a case he should fulfill his mitzvah's obligation because kevin shalom motzi shaner yichpe. And you're not going to tell me that, well, he should have anticipated it and he's guilty for that. That's impossible because Harei Gam B'Ner Shabbos, we're not going to say on Shabbos that we should prohibit it because of Shema Yechaber. Again, this is all in the Hava Mina. Remember that Tosa says, let's bracket the reasoning of Shema Yechaber with Mutal l'shtamesh li'or. Forget about all that. We're going to just apply the principle of Kavsa Zakakla, and on Shabbos there's certainly no option of Kavsa Zakakla. So in that case, we're stuck with the following problem. Why does Rav Huna say that on Leil Shabbos of Hanukkah you can't light with these candles? Because if, number one, it was kavui be'ones, and number two, he forgot to recandle it, then certainly that would not justify passeling these neros on Leil Shabbos, because in the case of Neir Shabbos, you can't tell me, well, he was shocheach, he forgot. What do you mean he forgot? Even had he remembered very well that he's required to rekindle the lamp, he doesn't have the opportunity, the possibility of doing so. So then, what's going on? Why did Rav Huna make this next step and assume that on Ner Shabbos, that these inferior quality neros should not be able to be used for Ner Shabbos? The Ner Shabbos law, you osrim, we shouldn't prohibit it. Tosus has the argument, we have to prohibit it because there's no possibility of his rekindling it. The answer is, if there's no possibility of rekindling it, then he's an onus gomor, he's an absolute onus. You've tied his hands. And there's no reason why we should undermine his kiyum of Ner Chanukah.
Why isn't Tosus make a distinction between the amount of time that this inferior oil might last during the week versus Shabbos? That was not enough. Because you're lighting so much before Shkia.
I don't know.
Your candles have to light.
I guess maybe he's lighting right before Shkia.
Even so, but it's still, if you can say these inferior oils can last as long as it needs on Friday night, then there's nothing inferior about them.
Yeah, but keep in mind that the Nair has to last a half hour. That half hour will apply even on Leil Shabbos. Let's assume. Again, you know, in the postgame we'll have to work our way through this. Meaning that the shear of a half hour is a shear in the Shemen. You know, the Shemen has to have the potential to last a half hour. So again, let's just go through this step by step, and we'll see if we can work this out.
The way I read inferior oil is not that it lasts less; it's that it goes out. Inferior oil.
Well, if it goes out, I guess it's going to last less. No.
No. It's not that it might only last a half hour versus an hour. It has the chance of just sputtering out.
The efficiency is.
No, but how long will it take till it sputters out?
Yeah.
It's not a half hour versus 2 hours.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to read on so I know what's coming up around the bend. No, I'm not Chas V'Shalom. You continue with your discussion.
I just to say.
Okay, whatever. So again, let's read it. Let's read it together. He says, "Ubehechrek." I'm starting again for the word of behechrek because I want to get this straight. There's a lot of mathematics here. You know, the Pnei Yoshua was a very mathematical thinker. That's not the way I was trained. He says, "Ubehechrek shagemara savra sheim kava ner Chanukah." In kava ner Chanukah, be honest. V'yishkach lachzar ulahadlik yotza yidei chovas hadlokas ner Chanukah. So again, there are a number of assumptions here in the Pnei Yoshua. Assumption number one is that it went out ba'onis. Assumption number two is he forgot to rekindle it, so he's not guilty of any deliberate violation or non-fulfillment of the mitzvah. Assumption number three is that because of the combination of A plus B, number one, the light went out ba'onis, and number two, he didn't deliberately decide not to rekindle it, but he was a shichacha. He comes to the third conclusion, and that is he should be considered as if he fulfilled his obligation of Ner Chanukah. And if this be the case, then what's the problem with Shabbos? And he says, "Hare gam ner Shabbos lo osrim." He says there's no reason to prohibit these oils for ner Shabbos. Why? Because it's not matzui that it should go out. Okay? So at this point, what's going to justify the fact that these inferior oils are excluded for Ner Shabbos? I told you before that Ner Shabbos meant Chanukah Shabbos. No, I made a mistake. We're talking about Ner Shabbos. And why is the mission at the beginning of Bamei Madlikin exclude, disqualify these Neros for Shabbos? And the answer is, you can't tell me because of Shema Yechaveh. Why can't you say Shema Yechaveh? Because we're assuming that the possibility of kibui is a far-out possibility. And it's going to happen as a result of an ones, and he doesn't even have the possibility of rekindling the nair.
Why is it far out possibility if he's using shnan and psulim? We're saying you can't use the shnan and psulim, you have to use good oil. And the reason is not because shem yichab, but it would be shem yichab if he's using nair psulim.
Well, right now he's assuming, again, maybe he'll shift his premises, but right now the premise is that the kibui of nair chanukah was a result of like a gust of wind, which he calls ones.
No, the right he's bringing from nir shabbos, trying to understand the nir shabbos part. He says shelo os. They said, "What is it? Lo os from mitam shamiyachave." But if he's used the bad oils, why wouldn't it be?
Because again, in the previous line, he's assuming at this point in his presentation that the kibui of the nair in these inferior oils is ba'onis. Ba'onis means it's not to be anticipated. So again, even though the oils are inferior quality, he's assuming that they will still last unless you open a window. And then we have another possibility of finding him guilty because he didn't rekindle the light. But that has no application in the case of Ner Shabbos. So why are we excluding these oils for Ner Shabbos? So now we come up with a whole new explanation, meaning that Kavsa Zakakla has nothing to do with Ner Shabbos. So what is the what is the key critical factor that kicks in the case of Ner Shabbos? Why should we exclude and disqualify these Neros, the Shmoneh for Ner Shabbos?
Shemiyata.
Okay, so he's going to get so involved in trying to fix up the Ner for his own personal purposes, his own benefits, that he might tamper with the Ner. Okay, ulefiz zeh. If we go with all these premises, Tzarech Lomar, Shatam Shel Rav Huna, Sha'oser Lahadlik Bishmonim Psulim Biyom Chol. Okay, now he's talking again about Chanukah. He's shifting back to Chanukah. Hu Mishum Shema Yifsha V'lo Yadlik. In other words, if we're saying that he was not guilty in any way of any deliberate violation of his obligation of rekindling the lamp, and therefore he should be granted the kiyuma mitzvah, so then why does Rav Huna say that we have to disqualify these oils? And that's the problem that Rashi faced. Meaning Rashi was looking for a reason why we should exclude these oils under some sort of level of a guilt situation. We could find him guilty. In other words, according to the Pnei Yeshu's premises here, you cannot exclude these oils unless you're going to tell me that he's guilty. And you know, if we put him up for trial in front of the Beis Din, we're going to find him guilty of non fulfillment of his obligation. But if you can assume A, that the candle goes out ba'onis, and B, that he was shocheach to rekindle it, and there's no element of pshi at all, we can't find him guilty at all, why not allow him to fulfill the mitzvah as is with the inferior status oils? Oh, so that's the problem that Rashi faced. And therefore Rashi's answer was, Tzarech lomar, shatam shel Rav Huna, sha'oser la'adik b'shmon psulim, we have to find him guilty of something miyom chol in order to disqualify his mitzvah, is mishum shema yifsha v'lo yadli. Now again, you might ask the question, every Jew is considered innocent until proven guilty, and certainly a case of a Jew who absolutely went ahead and he lit Ner Chanukah, obviously demonstrating his interest in fulfilling the mitzvah. Why are you going to tell me he's going to be poshea? So at this point, the Pnei Yeshu has to take a little bit of a step back. He has to soften, you know, the word poshea. And he says, why is he going to make a deliberate decision not to rekindle the lamp? Mishum shetoa v'sover yita v'sisbar she'im kava ner chanukah shuvein et tzarech ladlika. Ubi emes, and the truth is, tzarech lachzor ladlika. According to Rav Huna, we hold kavsa zakakla. So he's not aware, he's not working with that premise, and therefore he's going to deliberately decide not to rekindle the lamp. That's a mouthful.
Did we get a definition according to Rav Huna? Do we equate kavsa zakakla with hadlaka is not the mitzvah? Or can you still hold hadlaka as a mitzvah and still kavsa zakakla?
Right. He seems to be operating with a whole different set of premises. We assume that whether kavsa zakakla, depends on whether the mitzvah is hadlaka or ner dol. He's not necessarily operating with that position. He wants to assume that although they added a chiyuv of kavsa zakakla, doesn't mean that the mitzvah is ner dolak. The mitzvah might be the ma'is hadlaka, but the ma'is hadlaka has to be such that the hadlaka, that hadlaka is an effective hadlaka. He's looking at it.
Onus
like
will exempt him.
Onus would exempt him, and that's what Rashi's problem was. There's
the
a double onus. Number one, there was an onus in the fact that it went out. Number two, there was onus in the fact that he didn't rekindle it. He went to his workplace, and he wasn't even aware, perhaps, of the fact that it went out. So that's something that Rashi couldn't accept, because if that be the case, if he's a total onus, then there's no reason why, according to Rashi's understanding of the Pnei Yoshua, they would disqualify these oils. There's got to be some level or element of pshia here. We have to find him guilty in front of the court before we disqualify these oils.
But this is an odd pairing.
Give me just 5 minutes. You know, we've had this discussion many times, that sometimes when I'm trying to work out the mathematics, I need to get to the point where I can say to you, Rabos, I think I understand what's being said here. I'm not up to that point yet. You know, just not because of your questions, but because I'm not up to that point, because the pieces of the puzzle haven't yet the asimon od lo nafal, if you know what I mean, it didn't click yet. Oh. So he says the following. Let me just see if I can pick it up. Oh. So therefore, he says, if you're going to have to find some element of guilt in order to justify why these oils are possible, Rashi is compelled, therefore, to introduce the Shema Yifsha. Again, it's a funny kind of guilt, because he's explaining it's a toes kind of Shia. It's not a real deliberate, you know, violation, but that we can't say. He wants to fulfill the mitzvah. But the answer is, there's some sort of deliberate decision on his part, based on his understanding of the halacha, that kavsa ain't zakiklo be'emes, but in truth, that's wrong. Because we're going quinter of Hunu who holds kavsa zakiklo. Says the Pnei Yoshua, v'tam zeh lo shayach b'shabes. You can't tell me that he's making a mistake by thinking that he doesn't have to rekindle the light when it comes to Shabbos. Kevon shi efshar lahadlik. In other words, this is not a mistake. When he thinks he doesn't have to rekindle the light, that mistake is not appropriate for Shabbos. It's not applicable to Shabbos, because in the case of Shabbos, he's right. He's not obligated. He's not even allowed to rekindle it if he wants to. Uli Olam, therefore, im yichbe b'Shabbos, if it will go out on Shabbos, yachshov ka'anus, once again it will be an anus, there's no element of pshia whatsoever, because there is no halacha that requires him to rekindle the lamp, and therefore yotze yidei chovas hadlakas ner Shabbos. So we're back to square one. If your premise is that there's got to be some element of guilt in the fact that he didn't rekindle the lamp, the light that extinguished, then how could you exclude these shmonim on Leil Shabbos, because there's no element of guilt at all? On the contrary, here it's pure onus. Oh. And the answer is that we have to introduce a whole nother element into the equation. We're not talking about Hilchas Chanukah, when Rav Huna said that you can't use these candles of inferior oil on Shabbos. He didn't mean because of Hilchas Chanukah. In Hilchas Chanukah, because the premise is we can only disqualify when there's Pshia, and there's no Pshia in Shabbos, we cannot disqualify these oils. But rather, what steps up to the plate, and what variable enters into the equation? Hilchas Shabbos. Is Mizel Lomad Rava. Rava came to the conclusion, She'im Gam B'Shabbos Hitzrich Rav Huna Lahadlik B'Psilos U'Shmon Maksherim Muchach. There must be a Chashash of Shema Yate, and that Chashash of Shema Yate has to be predicated on Mutar L'Shtamesh Lior Ner Chanukah. So now I'm going to try to see in my mind if I can put this all into place. Again, so first of all, what are the goals? There are two goals here of the Pnei Yoshua. Goal number one is to justify what compelled Rashi to introduce the element of Pshia here. Why not just say that he was Shocheach, he was Anus, he was busy here, he was busy there, you know, he had to be a mile at a bris. So I'll say B'mitzvah Potem in a mitzvah. Again, it's getting late in the day, so I don't know if there's any Mila going on, but maybe he has to be a Kayan and a Pigeon at Ben, which he can do at night. So why does Rashi introduce Pshia? The second goal of the Pnei Yoshua is, sometimes if you add another kasha, then you can answer two kashas with one fell swoop. The second kasha is the kasha Tosfos, that how do you know that, how does Rava know that Rav Huna is based on Mutal Ishtamesh Liora? Maybe what Rav Huna was saying is that you cannot use these oils neither during the week nor on Shabbos, and certainly not on Shabbos, because there's no possibility of what? Of fulfilling Zakuk law. So who says anything about Mutal Ishtamesh Liora? That was Tosfos' kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua's thesis is that Rashi is coming to answer both of these kashas with one fell swoop. And what is the answer? How did Rashi construct this? So Rashi said the following, that just 1 second. Rashi said the following, that when we have the Mishnah which disqualifies these oils for Ner Shabbos, we cannot possibly justify that halachic principle based on Kavsa Zokik law, because there is no Kavsa Zokik law on Shabbos. That forces us to introduce the element of Shemayat. Now Rav Huna tells me that there is a reason to pasul these shmonim even on Chanukah Chol. Now on Chanukah Chol, Chol Shel Chanukah, there's no Shemayat. So if on Shabbos the reason why the Mishnah pasuls these inferior oils is because of Shemayat, the question arises, why during the week with these oil, the week of Hanukkah, why would these oils be possible? There's no Shemayat. Is everybody with me so far?
Yeah. Oh.
So here, Rashi said the following. He said that as far as, just 1 second, let me see if I can get this right. I'm going to talk to myself for a minute. As far as the statistical probability of the candle going out, that applies to both Shabbos and Chol. The only difference is, would you find him guilty of, in event that the candle goes out, of non-compliance with Zakuk? So on Shabbos we're forced to introduce Shemayat. Why? Because you can't tell me that he's negligent because he did not rekindle the light, because there is no possibility. So you have to introduce Shemayat. Oh, comes along Rav Huna, and that's the way Rav interprets it, and he says that these oils are excluded on what? On Chol. And what on the whole of Hanukkah, and why? Obviously, it can't be because of Shemayat. We have to come up with another explanation. Now, if you're going to tell me because we're afraid of Kibui, and according to Rav Huna, once it goes out, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Hanukkah. That's called Kavsa Zakuk. If that's the reason why these oils are excluded during the week, then I have to ask you the following question. Why should these oils be excluded for Ner Chanukah, even on Shabbos of Chanukah? So you're going to tell me that he's not rekindling the light when it goes out, then in that logic should not apply on Hanukkah, on Shabbos of Hanukkah. Im kovah ner Hanukkah ba'ones v'yishkach l'asor l'adliko yotzi lecho. This little motzi. Tam ner Shabbos lo'osu mitam shemei chavel mitam shemei yateh. So the Pnei Yeshua is asking the following question. Why is it that the Gemara justifies the psul of the Shmonim on Shabbos, near Shabbos, based on Shemiyata, why not say simply because the light is not going to last? So I don't know if I got that across. Did I get that across?
Yes.
Okay, everybody have that? Again, this is a very profound question of the Pnei Yoshua. Why did the Gemara have to come on to what? To Shema Yate, to justify the psul of Shabbos of each one. Why not just simply say Kavsa, that we're afraid it'll go out, they're inferior oils? And the answer is that the reason why we have to introduce Shema Yate is because there's no Shema Yechab. Yeah, you and I would have said intuitively that if they're inferior oils, it's Shema Yechabah. No, there's no Shema Yechabah. Oh. So if there's no Shema Yechabah, why do we exclude these oils on Shabbos for a Ner Shabbos? The answer has to be because of Shema Yatah, not because of Shema Yechabah. Oh. So now we've proven that the status of these oils vis-a-vis the probability theory of getting extinguished, that's not a factor over here. Oh. Ubehechrech shagmar sovosh in kova ner chaneko b'homnes v'yishkach lachzor ulo hadliko yotza yidei chovas hadlakas ner chan. This is the key line here. Kevon shalom motzu isha ner yichpe. Let's just think. If he's proven to us that the Gemara needs to justify Shabbos by saying Shemiyate, because Shemiyachab is not shfiach enough to disqualify these oils. You need another reason of Shema. In other words, it's going to last, but it'll flicker, and therefore he's going to be tempted inadvertently to tilt it. So if there's no Shemiyachab as a serious consideration, and the Gemara substitutes Shemiyate, so what's the problem with Ner Chanukah? Why all this hype about these shmonim? So you're telling me, because kavsa, etc., but we're not afraid of kavsa. Ubehechrech hagmar sovrash in kava ner chanukah be ones. Oh, so what happens over here? We weren't afraid, we weren't anticipating that the ner would go out, but it went out. Okay, so that's the reality. So it went out. The yishkach lachzor ula hadliko. Okay, so if I understand correctly, the word v'yishkach is in contrast to what word in Rashi? Rashi doesn't say v'yishkach. Yeah. Rashi says v'yifsha, right? So he's saying that, you know, it's very difficult. Again, this is Berzon. I don't know if this is the Pnei Yoshua. I can't promise it. But I think what he's saying is it's very uncomfortable to take the following position. We've already proven that the anticipation, the statistical probability of Shema Yichpeh is close to nil, so to speak. It's very low on the totem pole. It's 10%, 20%. So that can't be the problem of what we call Kavsa Zakakla. So therefore, if that's not the issue, then we're talking about the possibility of it going out ba'onis. Again, I'm not sure in the Pnei Yoshua's frame of reference why the halacha has to consider that possibility. So that's a weak link. I don't know. If anybody has anything to say, I'll be eager to hear you. But right now, the link that he's suggesting here is that it's going to go out ba'onis. Oh. So now, if it goes out ba'onis, we have a principle according to Rav Huna of Kavsa Zakakla. How does that principle justify the disqualification of these oils? You can't tell me because Shema Yechabah, because that should have worked on Ner Shabbos, which it doesn't. So you're going to have to say that the Shema Yechabah is not enough. So you're going to have to somehow consider the possibility that an onus happened, something unforeseen, and blew out the candle. And now we have a new principle called Kavsa Zakakla. New. So what's the problem? You're going to tell me Shema Yishkach? You know, I'll be shown him on a mitzvah. You know, it's bad enough that we're excluding these oils in a case where there's some sort of, I don't know what percentage of a possibility that it should go out because the window was open and the wind came, a gust of wind. That itself reduces it. But now on top of that, you're going to tell me Yishkach? And because of Yishkach, because of his Shichacha, we're going to establish that he didn't fulfill his mitzvah. That was Rashi's problem. Again, and ultimately, the solution to that problem is going to answer up another problem, meaning, how do we know that Rav Huna is predicated on Mutul Ishtamish Lior? Lefi Zet Tzarech Lomer, based on this question, how can we disqualify the oils based on Shema Yishkach? Because Shema Yishkach doesn't give us any justification in undermining his kiyuma mitzvah. Tzarech lomar shatam shel Rav Huna she'oser lahadlik b'shmonim psulim b'yom chol hu mishum shema yifsha v'lo yadlik. Again, I don't know why this is the second weak link in this structure, but this also gives us some sort of an element of pshia. Again, you can't say pshia in the simple way that he's a no good deliberate avaryan, right? But rather of Shia, because he didn't learn the halacha, so to speak. You know, his ignorance is the Shia.
He should have known better.
Deliberate, not
he should have studied more. You know, he should have studied Hilchas Chanukah better. That's what I think the Pnei Yeshua is saying. The Sover, and he came to the mistaken conclusion. You know, he decided to pass him for himself. That in Kavaner Chanukah Shuvein and Tzarech Lahadlik Ubeemis Tzarech Latzul Lahadlik Lefira of Huna, because Kavsa Zokukla. So maybe he's under the mistaken impression that all he needed was a Maisa Dloka, or let's go even a step beyond that. Maybe he knows that he needs a Maisa Dloka that will last, but the statistical probabilities tell us that it will last, despite the inferior quality. Haraya, that on Ner Shabbos there was never a Shema Yechabe, but only a Shema Yata. And now we have a real serious problem. And that is, why should we exclude these Neros on Shabbos of Chanukah? Because here you can't tell me that he made a toast. What do you mean he made a toast? His mistake was what? That he thought he doesn't have to rekindle? That's not a mistake. For sure he doesn't have to rekindle. You see, had he gone to the Rav in the case of Chol and asked him, what should I do now? If he would have made that one little extra effort and called up Rav Huna on his cell phone and said, Rav Huna, tell me, what do I have to do now? Rav Huna would have instructed him to rekindle the light. But that's not so on Shabbos. Well, he could have used the cell phone on Shabbos anyway. But let's say he went to Rav Huna and he said, Rebbe, what should I do? It's Leil Shabbos. You know, I have a problem. The Torah says, Havar is one of the Lavites Melachos. But the Chacham say, Kavsa Zakakla. You yourself, Rav Huna, Paskin. So what's Rav Huna going to say? He's going to tell him not to light the Chanukah candles. Now, if that be the case, there's no element of Pshia whatsoever. It's Mucha, then we must come to the conclusion that we have to introduce another element, and that is Shabbos. So again, I admit that I find here in the Pnei Yehoshua two weak links, which I personally, I don't know how to strengthen those weak links, if you could help me with that. The first weak link is that the Pnei Yehoshua assumes that what? That the only reason we can justify the psul of these shmonim is if there is some sort of element of guilt. And now we know there's no element of guilt in anticipation, should have anticipated that it would go out. And presumably, if he knew that he was meant to rekindle it, but he was shocheach for whatever reason, then again there's no element of guilt. And if there's no element of guilt, why should we disqualify? This is a weak link, because I would disqualify it simply because of the halacha of Ner Dolok. He's not operating with Ner Dolok. He's operating with A, a maisad luck, or B, if it goes out you have to rekindle it, but not betoras Ner Dolok. I don't know exactly what element he's operating with. Excuse me. And he's saying that you have to find some element of guilt in either A or B. Either A in the first hadlaka, which ended up with an extinguished candle, or B in the fact that he didn't rekindle it. Well, if he was a shocheach, then mimonav shock. You can't hold him guilty for the first hadlaka because he didn't anticipate it would go out. And you can't hold him guilty for not rekindling it after it went out because he didn't even know about it or he forgot about it, etc., etc. That's called shichacha and shkoga, so there's no element of pshia. And therefore, we go back to the drawing board. Again, I find this as a weak link because I don't know why the Pnei Yeshua finds it intolerable to say, to maintain, that we need a Ner Dolok. And if we need a Ner Dolok, according to Rav Huna, comes to Zakuk law, then Shichacha is not going to help me over here, because we're not dealing with guilt. We're dealing with how to set up a Ner that will last as a Ner Dolok. Just one second. Maybe what we're saying is... No, I don't know. That has to be worked out. Then I find the second link over here. So Rashi now wants to attribute some guilt to this Jew who lit the Ner Chanukah to begin with. Understandably, presumably he's interested in the mitzvah, and yet he's a poshea and he doesn't rekindle it. So Rashi comes up with a toast. The Pnei Yeshua comes up with a toast. He mistakenly thinks that Kovsa ain't Zakukla. Why is that called guilt? Maybe because he didn't learn halachas, he didn't take a cell phone and call up Rav Huna to find out what he has to do in this situation. I don't know. That's also a weak.
Could it be that he took the chance, even though the inferior oil is not matsui, that it should go out, but he took that chance, and that's what I see in Rashi, where he says hilchach tzarich l'chatchilu la'asok yafeh. Wait, yafeh. What does yafeh got to do with it? Either you did the din or you didn't do the din. Either you did it right, you didn't do it right. Yafeh is a step up. And that implies, I think it implies, that he should not have relied on this. And the fact that he relied on this, he didn't do the...
But my question to you is then again, aren't we back to square one in terms of the Kash of Tosis? Meaning, the reason why we should exclude these candles on Shabbos of Chanukah is again because of that Yafeh. You know, it's if the Pnei Yeshua is going to agree that the Yafeh here is a critical element, and that's why there's a certain reason to passel this, because he didn't do it Yafeh, then that should apply on Leil Shabbos as well. You know, there's the whole goal of the Pnei Yeshua here, or at least 50% of his goal, is to explain why on Shabbos the principle of Kavsa Ein Zakukah, excuse me, of Kavsa Zakukah would not justify the psul of these Shmonim on Shabbos. Right. And his answer to that question is the following. He's saying that the whole guilt here is because he was operating with the mistaken impression that Kofsa ain't Zakukah. But in Shabbos, says the Pnei Yeshua, Kofsa ain't Zakukah. And therefore, there's no reason to find him guilty. Now, if we're going to go with your approach of Yafeh, again, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to work this out. You know, I'm just saying, if we're working with the Yafeh, I think the Yafeh requirement, and if he's guilty of not Yafeh, because I don't know if the 20% of the possibility that the wind will blow out this candle, whatever it might be, is significant enough to say, well, you didn't do a Yafeh job, then if that be the case, then the whole theory of the Pnei Yeshua, I think all the cards sort of fall down, because we're going to apply the same logic of Yafeh and that requirement to Shabbos as well.
I think I can answer all the questions, but I think I have, I have to take a slightly different approach. But let me say,
when you say a different approach, different than the Pnei Yeshua?
No.
Or you want to fit this into the Pnei Yeshua? Just so I have my head wrapped around, because Alan, when you give me your own pshat, I always have to figure out whether it's Alan Kermeyer or your same pshat.
I'm trying to explain what the Pnei Yeshua is doing here.
Okay? And you're going to read this into the words?
Yes, I'm reading it into the words. Okay, but I have to set up what the questions are in the first place. The questions in the first place are based on a couple of things. Number one, that there's only one mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, whatever that is. You can either say that it's Hadlaka, or whether it's Pirsum Nei, so to speak, or whatever you want to call the Shehiyah, the 30 minutes, and ask the last. But there's only one. You can't, the Rabbanim cannot change from one to another. They say, the mitzvah is here, but
you can't straddle both ways.
Yeah, you can't change it. The mitzvah is what the mitzvah is. That's all it is. And so that's one principle that I want to say. The second problem is that Tosfos makes what seems like an eye popper of an assumption here, and that is that you can on Shabbos we're dealing with the fact that Ner Chanukah can be used for the Ora, and as opposed to being also lishtamish behem. right? That's what Tosfos said. That's the way.
What I understood from Tosfos is, how do we justify Rava's conclusion that Mutal Ishtabish the
Oil? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but that conclusion, you can't just pull it out of thin air and say...
Correct.
Yeah, Mutal Ishtabish the Oil. Well, you know, just because that comes up with an answer is not a good enough reason to do. Like, I wanted to be a little radical then, maybe a little more than a little radical, in saying that I think Rava... The first question is when Rava says, is Mutal Ishtabish Beham, is he talking about even during Chol, or is he only talking on Shabbos? And it seems to me that the way Yeshua is learning this, he's only talking about Shabbos. That it's still often...
Alan, I'm sorry, I have to apologize. As soon as you say those words, I'm like, you know...
Okay,
I'm
so what do you want me to start from again? Okay,
I'll tell you what it is, Alan. If we had like hours and hours...
No,
you know,
hours. If you let me finish... Give me 5 minutes and I want to...
No, because I honestly prepared a lot for this year, okay. And I made a big mistake. You know, as I say, when it comes to time management, I'm not the best.
Yeah.
So I got stuck with this Pnei Yehoshua. So what I would suggest, if it's okay with you, Al, that we take the Pnei Yehoshua and let's leave it on the side. We have approximately 29 minutes left until they're going to bang us for Mincha. And I didn't even start the shiur yet, because when I came in, I honestly mistakenly mentioned this Pnei Yehoshua. What I really wanted to start with is a very lumdish insight in the Beis HaLevi. And you'll see this on the left column of the same page. So, Mechilas Kvodo, if you don't mind, just for the sake of giving me a good feeling that I accomplished at least 5% of what I had set in mind for this year, let's take a look at this Beis HaLevi. I don't know if anyone here in this audience is learning Masechta Menachos. I would never have asked that question except for the fact that the Daf Yomi is learning Menachos. And if you're learning Daf Yomi, what Daf are you up to? Okay, so no one's learning Daf Yomi. What, not what?
61.
Oh, 61. Okay, so in about a month or 3 weeks from now, you'll get to 88. Okay? So when you get to 88, you're going to have a sugya of menorah. And the sugya menorah wants to know the following. And that is, if let's say the candle of the menorah goes out, what do you do? Let's talk about a Pnei Yehoshua's own situation, right? A gust of wind came and blew out the candle on the menorah. So what do you do? So the Gemara Menachos says that in ner kova b'menorah, hashemen v'apsila shel oso aner nechshavim k'deshen. Right? We have two concepts. We have shemen and psila, and then we have deshen. What do we do with deshen? We take it out to the Beis HaDeshen. Basically, what the Gemara establishes is that once the ner is kava, you've got to start from scratch. You've got to replace that original ner with a different ner. The Beis HaLevi sees in this Gemara a tremendous repercussion as far as ner Chanukah is concerned. He first starts, if you'll see the paragraph on the left side, let me make sure that everyone's on the same page. We're on page Tes Zayin, and we're on the left column, and you'll see the second major paragraph that starts Ha'im Tzarech. So we all have that. So he says, Beis HaLevi. Now this, unfortunately, I don't have somewhere in my library. I have it, but so that's why I'm using this. And his topic, he asks the following question: let's assume that Kavza Zakakla, that's the sheet of Rav Huna, and now it went out. Okay? He says the following. Rekindle the light. Okay, what are you going to do by rekindling the light? Are you going to add a new shemen and a new psila to replace the old one? That's question number one. Correct? Or maybe all you have to do is rekindle it. Maybe the wind blew it out, the wicks are still good, and the nair is still good, and the shemen is still good. Just rekindle it. Or no, you have to substitute a new batch of shemen and psil. That's question number one. Question number two, what about a case of nishpach ha-shemen v'ovda psila? Now you're in a no-win situation if you assume that you have to rekindle the same light. So let's go back to the first question. The first question is, do I just simply take a match and rekindle the light? It went out, now I can rekindle it. What Rabbi Osai is the advantage of that side, as opposed to getting rid of it all and starting from scratch with a new nair?
It's easier.
Okay, it's easier. What else? He made the bracha on this nair. Now, let's assume, again, you could always argue with me, that the bracha is not chal on all the nairos in the world, all possible shemen. It's chal on this particular shemen. So he designates this shemen, he makes a bracha on the designated shemen. If now you're going to tell me, well, the wind blew it out, I have to get rid of the shemen and substitute a new shemen, I'm a little bit uncomfortable because the bracha is nowhere, unless you assume the bracha is everywhere. That's why the Beis HaLevi comes up with another question. What about Nishpach HaShemen V'Ovda HaPsila? Let's say everything got spilled out. Now, there's a possibility of saying that the original Nair is gone and therefore it cannot be replaced by another Nair. You have already designated one particular Nair. There's no room for allowing a second Nair. Or should we say the other way? That you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanuk with that original designated Ner, but rather Chayv Lahadlik Ner Acher. You didn't succeed with the first Ner, you'll succeed with the second Ner. So basically what the Beis HaLevi wants to entertain is the possibility that there's an exclusive halacha here which designates one particular Ner, and once that Ner is gone out, then finito. You know, you cannot replace it with a different nair. Or, for example, if the nair goes out and now you want to rekindle it, that's one thing, but you can't substitute a new batch of shemen and wicks.
Why did they say that?
Because, again, according to one side of the Beis HaLevi, which he's going to now analyze in the light of the Sugya Menachos, as far as menorah is concerned, there may be a possibility that you've got to fulfill the mitzvah with this particular nair. Yep. That's a designated nair. So l'chori, he says, Yeshlomer, Shem avda psila, if it's lost, ain't al chayev lahadlik nair acher. Why? Kevan shezeh, ain't zeh oso nair shebirech olav. Now, he's asking, what agent would designate this nair to the exclusion of any other nair? I mean, why not say, okay, the Torah doesn't say that it's got to be this, you know, this particular nair. I can fulfill the mitzvah with another nair. What compels me to say that there was a designation process in which... Oh, so he wants to suggest the Beis HaLevi that the bracha is the agent that achieves this designation to the exclusion of any other nair. So now he designated that one nair. Now let me fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanuk with another Ner. Again, it could be I'll have to forfeit the bracha, but still, ain't a bracha ma'kevus is a mitzvah, so at least I'll be makayim. He says, no. Chachamim lo tiknu lahadlik pa'amayim. There's no such takana of two different Neros, because two different Neros make it into two different hadlakos. The im nomar she'eno yochel lachzor lahadlik ner acher nuchal lahoven es hasvara shel mi shesover shem kovan ner chanukah eino tzorach lachzor ladlika ulechar yesh l'tmo madud lo yachzor v'yadlik hari l'chatchilu tzorach shener yidlak kishir. He addresses the following question: what is the underlying logic of the man diomer who says kovsa Ein Zakukla? Why Ein Zakukla? Doesn't he need a Ner Doluk? It's got to last for a shear, and it went out before the shear, otherwise he fulfilled the mitzvah, but it went out before the shear. So why are you telling me Ein Zakukla? And again, you and I came to the conclusion, because Ein Zakukla is based on the fact that he already fulfilled the mitzvah, because he did the Maisa Dlaka, but the Beis HaLevi is not working with that option. His premise is that you definitely need a Ner Doluk, because you have to have it lit kashir. So why not take another candle and light it? If it's kavsa, why not zakukla? And now fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanuk with a Ner Doluk. So he comes up with a whole new principle here. I call it a curveball from left field. And he suggests the following. that Chachamim never were misaken a new Maisa Adlaka. They only give the option of lighting one Ner with one Adlaka. Again, if you could rekindle that same Adlaka, that same Ner, then again, that's just replacing or reestablishing the original Ner. But if the Ner is irreplaceable, for example, there's not enough Shemen, let's say the Shemen fell or got lost, then he says that you don't have a possibility of being Makayim the Takon of Ner Chanukah with another Ner. And he says, where do I have a source for this? That since the Ner is gone, meaning the Shemen and the Psil is gone, that a replacement Ner could not be considered a Ner. Why not say that the Ner is still in existence? So let's go back to his original suffix. He says, "Vabeis Alevius Tapik Lamandi Omar Kovsa Zokiklo Ha'im Zedafka Kshekova HaNer." Maybe the only possibility of saying Kovsa Zokiklo is when the Ner was extinguished, but we still have what? The oil and the Psila. What would be the Sfarah to say that Kovsa Zokiklo only applies if we still have the Ner and the Psila? Rabosa, are you with me on this? Again, the Beis Halevi is establishing the following principle. There was never a Takana to light two different Neros. That would be two different hadlokas. There's only one hadlokah.
So it's the same oil and the same wick, just relighting it.
Oh. So now, if he's relighting what he lit before, that's considered one hadlokah. One there, and one hadlokah. And that's why he says that Laman di Omar, again, rereading the text there, Shekovsa Zokakla, Zeu Dafka, Kishekoba Ner. Why? Because once the Shemen is lost, then he cannot replace the original Ner. And his premise is that you have to replace the original Ner in this tzad that he's saying. Oh. Why is it that he has to replace the original Ner? And now he's assuming that the Chachamim were only metaken one Ner. So therefore, Kopsa Zokiklo would only apply. Oh. Now he says, if that's the pshat, if the depth of Kovsa Zokiklo is that the Ner still exists, and therefore there's only one Ner, he's just rekindling that same Ner, I can begin to understand. The Ma'an Yomar says Kovsa Ein Zokiklo. We thought Kovsa Ein Zokiklo means what? That he was Mekayim the Mitzvah, and therefore Ein Zokiklo, he can go home. No, we're saying something totally different. Kovsa Ein Zokiklo means that he forfeits the Mitzvah. I let him rekindle the light. Oh. Here we have a machlokus. One man, the Omer says, Zokiklo, he can still salvage that same Ner, even though the Shalhevis was gone, but he still has the Shemen and the Psila, so he still has the same old Ner. The other man, the Omer says, no. Once it's extinguished, even though he has the original Shemen and the original Shemen and oil, the original candle is gone. And there's no possibility of taking another Ner. Right? Or for that matter, rekindling this Nair, because again, this Nair is a new Nair. Do you follow why? Because the Shalhevis of this Nair was extinguished. Once that happens, it's gone.
But the
what would be the Sfarah to say that once it's... Right, you have to figure out the language Zokiklo, what Zokiklo means. But again, let's just understand the conceptual framework of the Beis HaLevi. What gives the Beis HaLevi the gumption of saying that once it goes out, I still have the same Shemen and the same wick, it's a whole new candle, according to my Neomakov saying Zokiklo. He says, because of a sugya Masechta Menachos.
Right.
And what does it say in Masechta Menachos? What's the status of the Shemen and the Psila after it goes out? It's Deshen. It's no longer there. And the only way you can fulfill it is by going back to the square one and starting with a brand new Adlaka. The old Shemen and Psila are history, so to speak, and therefore there's no Ner. So if that be the case, you and I thought that the Ner continues to exist through the body of the Shemen and the Psila. No. We see from the Gemara Menachos that the body of the Shemen and the Ner is not enough to keep the Ner going, so to speak, and saying that now I rekindle the same old Ner, it's a brand new Ner. The old Ner is considered Deshet Al Pi Din, even though physically it's still Shemen. And therefore there's no possibility of rekindling the light, even if the Shemen and the oil are gone. So he's noted to say the following: if I'll kavsa zakuk la, and I still have the old shemen and the ner and the psula, then I can rekindle it, and it's one adlacha, it's one ner, correct?
Because he doesn't want from the Gemara.
Again, what are we going to do with the Gemara Menachos? That's going to be a problem. That's the mind the Yomer who says kavsa zakuk la. But in a case where the shemen and the oil are gone, even according to the mind the Yomer kavsa zakuk la, the Rabbanan never established a second adlach on a new ner. The Mani Yoru says Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. He's holding that Eino Yachal Lizkok La, right? That you cannot help and salvage the original Nair, because that original Nair is history, it's gone, because once the Shalheves was extinguished, that's gone, and anything that's left there is just plain Posh and Desha. It's no longer, it doesn't have a Chalashem Nair. And therefore, Ein Zakuk La means he has no possibility of being Zakuk La, of going back and refurbishing the original Nair. Because that psila and shemen has the status of deshen. Kahu adin b'ner Chanukah kasher kova. Ein lahadlik shuv b'osa psila b'osa shemen. I'm assuming now he's going quick to my Yom HaKavsa Ein Zakuk. I don't know. The afsha ein ner Chanukah v'adlokas haminor domim zela zebuchol adinim. You might say, well, okay, in the case of ner menorah, it's hafka shem ner, it's deshen, but that has no impact on Chanukah. Sharei ein chova lahadlik ner Chanukah b'shemen zayis zach. If we would accept an absolute equation identification of ner Chanukah with ner shemen migdash, we would assume that you could only fulfill the mitzvah like in migdash with ner, with shemen zayis. I mean, kol makom yesh ledamos ner Chanukah ladlokas haminor le'inyin zeh shem kava haner ein lahadlik shuv bi'oso psila bi'oso shemen. Because oso psila and oso shemen is deshen, and you could no longer salvage the original adlok and the original ner. That's according to the Mani Omar kavsa ein zakuk. If you hold kavsa zakuk la, then we have to assume that the equation between Ner Chanukah and Ner HaMenorah is a very loose equation, if it exists at all. I don't know if we can derive any dinim. You know, the Rav is famous for saying that you can't just take a candle and put it down on a table, you know, and solidify it on the table. You need a menorah. So the Rishonim asked the Rav, what's the source for the, who says you need a menorah? And the Ravid answers, because it's got to be Dumya to Migdash. Just like in Migdash, you can't just put down seven candles. You have to have a menorah. So too in Ner Chanukah, you have to have a menorah. So we do see that certain dinim that apply to menorah are transferred over to Ner Chanukah, at least according to the Ravid.
Even if it's not the same menorah.
For sure not. It's got eight. It's a candelabra of eight rather than seven. So, you know, at what point do we say Ad Kan? You know, we can compare Ner Chanukah to Ner Menorah to this point, but not to that point. You know, where do you draw the line? So the Beis HaLevi, I think, is saying that the machlokas of Kavsa, Zakuk La, or Ein Zakuk La really is on this very question. Where do we draw the line? If we say Kavsa Ein Zakuk La, then we're going very far. We're saying, just like in Ner HaMenorah, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah menorah with the same oil, because you need another Ner to substitute for the first one. The first Ner is gone, it's deshen. So too, with regard to Ner Chanukah, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah with a new Ner. On the other hand, if you hold Kavsa Zakuk La, then you might be saying, well, Ad Kan. You know, I'm not willing to equate Ner Chanukah with Ner Sheb B'Menorah to such an extent.
If we look at the bracha itself, Lahadlik, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvah Tzav, it's Ivanu, you have two concepts there, Lahadlik and Ner. Does that have anything to do with this? If it doesn't, tell me to shut up.
No. Lahadlik and Ner means that you have a Chiyuv of Lahadlik and also you have a Chiyuv of creating a Ner. So the bracha is excellent. And the question is, what bracha do they recite in the Migdash? Now, it's very interesting. This is a whole new topic. All right, let's just take a look at the Meiri's Kasha in the next paragraph. Amar Rab Zera says this already on Daf Chaf Aleph on the days, and now we're shifting our discussion over to the Shita of Rav. And Rav says that Kavsa Ein Zakuk La, therefore I don't mind if you use all these inferior quality Neros. Again, I don't know how the Beis HaLevi is going to deal with that, but so the Meiri's question is the following: Madua Rav Matir LaHadlik BePsilos Ushmonim Apsulim VeEino Choshe Shemi Yechaban Ner. In other words, he's not willing to say that according to Rav, all you need is a Maisa Adlaka, because the Gemara is going to establish. I don't know, it says, in my text it says Liel, it should be Lehalon, it's a printing mistake. But immediately following, that's the next sugya, establishes that you need that the Ner light Kishir for a certain period of time, let's say a half hour. And the reason for that is because we need a Pirsum HaNes during this entire half hour, so light the oil of a half hour. So why would we say Kofsa Ein Zakakla? If it went out before the half hour, we should certainly be required to rekindle the light. Since we need a shear in the shemen, but again, if I use our terminology, it sounds like the Meiri is operating with the premise that everybody has to agree that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a Ner Dolut, because the Gemara establishes that the shear of the Shemen is such that it would be lit for a full half hour. I don't know. Because he's talking about Rav. Now Rav holds Kofsa Einzel. So all you need is a Maisa Adlaka, the shear of Shemen. He's saying the following, that the shear of Shemen at the very least would indicate that in the ideal situation we need a Ner Dol. So you can't deny that ideally you need a Ner Dol. Now, according to the Meiri, there basically are two kiyumim over here. There's one kiyum of a Maisa Adlaka, and there's another kiyum of a Ner Dol. And we want both. We want a Maisa Adlaka and we want a Ner Dol. If that be the case, then Kofsa Zakakla in order to achieve the second kiyum of Ner Dolik. So why does Rav say we don't have to passel the Shmonim, even though, again, he's not operating with the assumption of the Pnei Yoshua that the candle will last. He's assuming that this weak candle will go out, Shemi Yechaber. How could Rav ignore the Shemi Yechaber if we need a Ner Dolik? And even Rav has to agree that in addition to the Mais Adlaka, we need a Kiyum of Ner Dolik.
But you don't have a good Maisa Adlaka if you don't have a Ner that you're sure is going to last.
Right, so how could Rav say that therefore we're going to accept and validate all these Shmonim Psulim, knowing full well that we won't have a Ner Dol? That's the Miri's problem. He wants to justify Rav. So the Miri gives a very ambiguous answer, but I think if we read the Beis HaLevi or Number Gimel, we'll understand the Miri. The Miri's answer is the following. He says, "V'derek klal gam kasher madlik v'psil sushmonim apsulim ein haner kava b'shir muad shel chatzis shoah." Even these inferior quality candles will last for the minimum of a half an hour. So the Beis HaLevi, I think, gives us a beautiful insight into the Meiri. Again, the Beis HaLevi doesn't quote the Meiri, and this is Number Gimel. We'll get back to the Rashash in a minute. Rosh Hashanah is going to assume something radical, that Rav never accepted that you need a shear of a half hour in the Ner. But the Beis HaLevi says, "Shachashash shema yechabe haner eino ela chashash bi'alma ki ein vados sheyechabe." Again, the Pnei Yoshua went way beyond that. Not only ein vados, he says statistically, we're going to assume, and that's why the Gemara needs Shemiyata as far as Shabner Shabbos. L'chein dafka b'ner Shabbos yesh me'arishonim shekosvu sheyesh lach shosh shema yechab. Avol gabi ner Chanukah ein lochosh. This is an unbelievable Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi is operating with the assumption, based on certain Rishonim whom he does not identify, the unidentified Rishonim, there's a footnote here, that this group of Rishonim insist that the reason why we exclude and disqualify these Shmonim on Shabbos is not because of Shema Yater, but rather because of Shema Yechab, something which the Pnei Yoshua would absolutely resist. If we're operating with Shema Yechab, then the question is, why not apply the same logic of Shema Yechab to Ner Chanukah, according to Rav, who says that we can use. So Rav is going to say the following: we have this Itron, you know, some sort of inferior quality shemen. We're not allowed to use it for Shabbos because it doesn't have a long shelf life. It's not going to last for long. Shem Yechav. But we're going to allow you to use that for Ner Chanukah, even though Ner Chanukah has to last for a half hour. So what's the difference between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah? So there are two ways of explaining this. One way is to say that in Ner Shabbos we need the Ner to last more than a half hour until he comes home from shul and he eats his seuda. The other way is to say it, that even if I assume the Ner Shabbos would have a similar shear of a half hour, but we're dealing with a very severe mitzvah, a high class mitzvah on the hierarchy, on the totem pole of mitzvahs. And with regard to, well, let's say that Shem Yechaveh is a 10% statistical possibility. We have to be very careful and worry and be concerned about the 10% with regard to Ner Shabbos and not with regard to Ner Chanukah. Now wait a second, is Ner Shabbos d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? It's one of the seven mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Right, the smag, not the smag, the bahag has seven mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Ner Chanukah is also a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Shabbos is much more important than the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Chanukah. And how does that express itself? In the case of Ner Shabbos, if we have a 10% probability theory that it's going to go out, we're going to exclude it. In the case of Chanukah, we don't care about the 10% probability that it might go out. And that's going to be the sheet of Rav, that even though Rav says that Ner Shabbos is possible in these inferior quality oils because of Shem Yechaveh, he would agree that in Chanukah, he would insist that in Chanukah there's no psul in these narrows because of Shem Yechaveh. Because the statistical probability of Shem Yechaveh is more bothersome in the case of Shabbos, more of a problem than it is in the case of Chanukah, because the demands of Ner Shabbos are greater. Now, Ner Shabbos is also the Rabbanah. But what's the ultimate goal of Ner Shabbos? Shalom Bayis. So if it's Shalom Bayis is even greater than Pirsum Minisa. Because the Gemara says if you have only one candle, and that's all you can use, then you light it as a Shabbos candle on the night of Chanukah, because Shalom Bayis is greater than Pirsum Minisa. So when I ask you, what's the nafkamina between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, putting Ner Shabbos on a higher level, the first thing he's going to tell me that if he only has one candle, he's got to use it for Shabbos. The second thing he's going to tell me, according to the Beis HaLevi, is that the inferior quality oils, where there's a shash of Shem Yechaveh, have to be excluded for Shabbos. And we're not going to exclude them for Chanukah. And this is perhaps what the Meiri means. Let's go back to the Meiri. The Meiri says that b'derech klal kasher madlik b'psilus u'shmonim apsulim ein haner kova b'shir mu'ed shel chatzin shah. So it's going to last for a chatzin shah. That's good enough for Ner Chanukah, but it's not good enough for Shabbos. Why isn't it good enough for Shabbos? So pashtus, we would say, because Ner Shabbos has to last for a longer period of time than a half hour, and these inferior, that's not going to happen. But the Beis HaLevi is throwing in another variable into the equation, and he's saying that on Shabbos, even if I would grant you that all you need is a half hour, but I have to worry on Shabbos about Shem Yechaveh. And he quotes Rishonim who say that the reason why these Neros are excluded on Shabbos is because Yesh Lachus L'Shem Yechaveh. That's not the way we understood the sugya. We thought it was Shem Yatah. He's saying Shem Yechaveh. Aval Gabi Ner Chanukah Ein Lachus. The Halach doesn't have to take into consideration the Shem Yechaveh. Well, the statistical probabilities of Kibui are the same, or they're identical on Shabbos and Chanukah. So why is it Ein Lachus on Chanukah? And with regard to Shabbos, we're going to say Yesh Lachus Shem Yechaveh. So here you have to introduce a whole new element, namely that Ner Shabbos has a higher standard and greater demands and regulations than Ner Chanukah.
Which it does.
Okay then? Then we have the Rashash, and the Rashash says that according to Rav, we don't need a shear of a half hour. Now this Rashash means something very serious in terms of Tosfos. Let's take a look at Tosfos very quickly. And Tosfos on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, the Ilo Adlik Madlik, says Mikan V'Elech Ovar Zman, that after this half hour it's too late to light Ner Chanukah. But Omer Hari Parat, the Yesh Li Zoro Ladik V'Laila Miyad Li Acha Shelo Yacher Yosem Miday Mikol Mekomim Icher Yadlik Misafek Do Meshani Shinuye Achrine. So the only justification which the Re can come up with for lighting after this half hour has elapsed is because of the second answer of the Gemara of Ashir. Now, according to the Beis Halevi, according to the Rashash, Rav himself never accepted the second answer of the Gemara. And he doesn't require any shear whatsoever. If he required a shear, then he would certainly agree that Kofsa Zakakla. The Rav holds Kofsa ain't Zakakla, says the Rashash, because Rav holds that we don't accept the shear. If we don't accept the shear, then the Reparat falls apart. So I don't know how the Rashash is going to deal with the Reparat, because we accept the halacha like Rav, and yet we're going to require a shear of a half hour's worth. And that's the whole basis, according to the Rashash, of Rav's conclusion that we can be mashir all these oils, and we don't have to be choshesh for kibui, because we don't require a shear. Now, according to the Reparat, it's only because we require the shear that we're going to justify lighting the candles after that half hour period of time. According to the Rashash, if Rav, and we accept Rav, has completely excluded the shear halacha, that requirement, then we're back to square one, and therefore we're going to have to assume that if he failed to light the candle during that half hour period of time, and the half hour period of time has passed, it would be meaningless to light the candle at that point, because we don't have the second option of Lishi'ura, because Rav, according to the Rashash, never accepted Lishi'ura. So Rabotai, what I'm going to ask you to do for Yom Rishon is to please hold on to these pages. And I'm going to just tell you very quickly what we have to do. There's a Ramban here on the top of the page, on the left column on the top. Everybody see that paragraph? Aval Ramban? On page Tezayin. And then on the bottom, there's a Shar Efrayim that we want to do, very profound Shar Efrayim. And then on the next page, which if you'll hold on to this, and if you think you might lose it, give it to me and I'll hold on to it for you. So we're going to go through all these paragraphs here with the Rebbe Kivager, and I'm trying to understand this Rebbe Kivager. I read it a few times. It's very profound that I don't understand it. He says that there is no Shir in Ner Chanukah.
Where's Rebbe Kivager?
Rebbe Kivager is in the paragraph that starts B'chidushei Rosh. Do you see that paragraph?
Yeah.
So if you drop down to the fourth line, it says Rebbe Kivager. And then in the next paragraph, when he gets to Rebbe Yirmiyah, he has a Me'iri of Pnei Yoshua and Chassam Sofer. So that's our agenda, Mirtzah Hashem, B'li Neder for Yom Rishon. So I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbat, a great Shabbos, Parshas Noach, and Hashem should have compassion on us and accept our tefillos, just like He accepted our tefillos, and therefore guaranteed that the earth would not be destroyed again by a second mammon.